Father, I thank you that you are so blessing what you've called us to with Beauty for Ashes, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you. We officially thank you in front of everyone that we own the building officially as of yesterday. And we give you all the praise for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you for your angels about that place, keeping it protected. And Lord, all that's going to happen in that place. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are awesome. And Lord, we just thank you for these people, Lord, that we can minister to tonight. Lord, I pray that we have ears to hear what the Spirit would say as we get people free from all the spirits that come in with the reprobate mind. And Lord, that tonight we would just have a good time just casting demons out to your glory. And that every devil in hell would be trembling at what you're about to send forth by your church. And we thank you, Lord, that we're a part of that church, Lord. Whew. And Lord, that you're giving us a place where we can minister 7 days a week. Hallelujah. We just thank you. We just give you praise and glory. Father, we ask you to tell everyone what to give, because you know every single bill. And you're just so faithful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. We're just going to go after these things, boom, boom, boom. And if you need more teaching on them, we've got it on tape, because most of what we're going to do tonight we've done before. But we had not gotten the reprobate mind out of everyone, and so it's been surfacing in people. So you wondered why it's been so weird. Ha ha. Inner healing deliverance is so much fun. A long time ago, before Mitchell got sick and I didn't listen very well, Lord said, if you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a mile in Mitchell's life. If you read my book, it says the mile began when he was attacked with chicken pox. He had chicken pox. I didn't fight it. I thought, big deal, everybody has chicken pox. And within 24 hours, he was hospitalized with permanent brain, liver, and lung damage. And I thought, oh, this is why you tried to warn me, Lord. What I love about the Lord, even when we miss his warning, he's faithful the minute we repent and turn around and run to him. And don't ever believe for one second, don't ever believe for one second that God will forsake you, that he will leave you. Don't ever believe for one second that you could go too far and God will have nothing to do with you again. If that ever happened, you wouldn't even want anything to do with God. You wouldn't even know it. You would be so deceived, you wouldn't even know it. In other words, you wouldn't care about God at all. So if there's even a little bit in your heart, God, I love you. God, I want you. God, don't forsake. He won't. If you ever get the revelation of how faithful God is, you will be so amazed. And when you begin to muddle through wrong doctrine and muddle through our wrong beliefs and muddle through so much of our religious walk being about us instead of about what he's done for us, you'll begin to really get free. This is really a relationship where he's done it all, and we just have to actually die to everything that doesn't believe that. How many saw the movie Passion? That movie was very powerful. I didn't cry one tear, and I cry at Kodak commercials. So I asked the Lord what was wrong with me. And he really much said, you've already gotten on the other side of the cross. You've seen this and seen this and seen this when you've done inner healing. Everything I've said to people in the spirit about what he suffered and went through and how horrible it was, wasn't as bad as that. But it was as bad as most of us could stand to watch. And I just praise the Lord. I believe the Lord is going to bring at least, put it this way, our nation's going to, and the church is going to be at a higher level of accountability, either to move towards God or if we move away from God for judgment. I feel like we're in the balance right now. And the Lord's saying, look, I am moving mightily to reveal the truth about Christianity. And I heard from someone that their priest told them not to go, that the movie did not depict the love of Christ. It's like they totally don't get it. And I just really told the person that they just didn't understand that there's so much love in what Christ went through to set us free. Folks, when you saw those stripes on his back, if you haven't gone, I recommend you go. Those stripes, can't you understand after seeing that movie, even when we start getting free tonight, where none of your works can take credit? See, if your work of how you say it, how you do it, what you believe, if your work is what sets you free, he didn't have to do that. If your works could heal you, he didn't have to take those beatings. If your works could set you free from torment, he didn't have to have torment so bad that his head bled in Gethsemane. I understood torment so good after watching. See, that's torment. Isn't that your torment? Your exact torment was a torment of the Lord that you saw that God gave to, I believe, to Mel Gibson in that movie, where Satan came to Christ and said, who do you think you are? Your torment begins in your own life when the devil says, who do you think you are? He's not big enough to set you free. He's not big enough to heal you. He's not big enough to keep the enemy from you. Who do you think you are? Who is your daddy anyway? Who is your father? Trying to make you have doubt and unbelief, a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind we saw last week, and it's powerful when the teaching comes out. It's a mind that thinks that God could reject you. It's a mind that believes lies instead of truth. To the level that you believe those lies is to the level that the enemy gets a hold in your life. And when you look at that movie and you realize that that's as close as any of us have ever seen what our Lord went through, you begin to see, no wonder he's not going to share his glory. There's nothing that I could go through. There's nothing that the enemy could put me through that I've done anything to deserve any of God's favor, any of God's mercy and grace. But Jesus Christ, what he went through, he chose to go through. That's the difference. I didn't choose to go to my daughter's funeral. I had to go there. I didn't have a choice. Believe me, if I had the choice, I wouldn't have been there. I didn't have the choice. But I found a faithful God in the midst of it. You would not have chosen to go through sexual abuse. You would not have chosen to have your father kill himself. You wouldn't have chosen to have 10 stepfathers. You wouldn't have chosen these things that have happened to you. Jesus chose to suffer that much to set us free. And so it makes such clear understanding as to why the Father's not going to let us take doctrine and have it substitute for the work of the cross. And if you saw the victory of the Lord, it came at Gethsemane. It came in the midst of torment when he chose to believe what the Father said and not listen to the devil. And once he chose to believe what the Father said, at that point, he chose pure obedience when it didn't make sense. He chose to obey when it looked like defeat. And in that, he found victory for every one of us. He came into the fullness of the call on his life. He is seated at the right hand of the Father because he chose pure obedience. When I watched that movie, I think one of the things that came to me stronger that I don't think I quite ever had this big of a revelation on. I knew it, but it was so real. Because you saw them spitting on him. You saw them kicking him. You saw them humiliating him. To see it, everything they did to him was an opportunity for him to hate them.